What's going on, everybody? This is Ben from Retro Ben Gaming. With all the craziness happening in the world today, I decided to add a little positivity to it with this podcast. This podcast is going to focus on all things video games, whether it's discussing them, playing them, or just getting them on the cheap. Now, whether you're a PC player or a console player, I believe we all have something to add to this conversation. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and as always, keep gaming. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, we are going to continue with the history of some of our most beloved video game franchises and video game companies themselves. We're going to talk about the Intellivision today. Now, the Intellivision was created by Mattel Electronics, and I'm not really going to get into the history of Mattel, not really my style, so we're just going to focus on the console itself. I hope you guys enjoy this history of the console. I know I sure did. Also, I am fully aware that you can hear my 2-year-old son in the background just screaming his brains out and giggling and laughing. I didn't really hear it while I was recording. It wasn't until I started listening to it afterwards that I heard him. And I figured, you know what, I'm going to leave it in there because frankly, right now, that's my life. I hear that kid every day. He just turned 2 and so he's a spaz right now. And I'm okay with it. If you're not okay with it, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better next time, but that's me. I'm a dad of 3 and you can hear the kids. And if I got to suffer, you got to suffer. Just kidding. I love my kids. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. Have a great day. The Intellivision is a home video game console released by Mattel Electronics in 1979. The name is a combination of Intelligent Television. Development began in 1977, the same year as the launch of its main competitor, the Atari 2600. In 1984, Mattel sold its video game assets to a former Mattel executive and investors, becoming INTV Corporation. The game development ran from 1978 to 1990 when the Intellivision was discontinued. From 1980 to 1983, more than 3 million consoles were sold. In 2009, IGN ranked the Intellivision the number 14 of the greatest video game consoles of all time. It remained Mattel's only video game console until the Hyperscan in 2006. The Intellivision was developed at Mattel in Hawthorne, California, along with the Mattel Electronics line of handheld electronic games. Mattel's design and development group conceived a home video game console system in 1977. To compete, it was to have rich graphics and long-lasting gameplay. Mattel identified a new but expensive chipset from National Semiconductor and negotiated better pricing for a simpler design. Its consultant, Technology Consulting, suggested a general instrument chipset, listed as the Gemini programmable set in the GI 1977 catalog. The GI chipset lacks reprogrammable graphics, and Mattel worked with GI to implement changes. GI published an updated chipset to its 1978 catalog. After having chosen National in August 1977, Mattel waited for 2 months before ultimately choosing the proposed GI chipset in late 1977. A team at Mattel, headed by David Chandler, began engineering the hardware, including the hand controllers. In 1978, David Rolfe of APH developed the onboard executive control software named Exec, and programmed the first games with a group of Caltech summer student employees. Graphics were designed by a group of artists at Mattel, led by Dave James. The Intellivision was introduced at the 1979 Las Vegas CES in January as a modular home computer with the master component priced at $165, and a soon-to-follow keyboard component also at $165. That's about equivalent of $590 today. At Chicago CES in June, prices were revised to $250 for each component. A shortage of key chips from manufacturer General Instrument resulted in a limited number of Intellivision master components produced that year. In mid-1979, Sylvania marketed its own branded Intellivision at $280 in its GTE stores in Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. On December 3rd, Mattel delivered consoles to the Gottschalk department store chain headquartered in Fresno, California, where they suggested list price of $275. The Intellivision was also listed in the nationally distributed JCPenney's Christmas 1979 catalog with 7 cartridges. It was in stores nationwide by mid-1980 with the packing game Las Vegas Poker and Blackjack and a library of 10 cartridges. Mattel Electronics became a subsidiary in 1981. Though the Intellivision is not the first system to have challenged Warner Communications' Atari, it is the first to have posed a serious threat to the market leader. A series of advertisements starring George Plimpton use side-by-side game comparisons to demonstrate the superior graphics and sound of Intellivision over the Atari 2600. One slogan calls Intellivision the closest thing to the real thing. One example compares golf games, where the other console's games have a blip sound and cruder graphics, while the Intellivision features a realistic swing sound and striking of the ball, and a more 3D look. There was an advertisement comparing to the Atari 2600 with the slogan, "I didn't know." In its first year, Mattel sold out its initial 175,000 production run of the Intellivision Master Component. In 1981, more than 1 million Intellivision consoles were sold, 5 times as many as 1980. The Intellivision Master Component was branded and distributed by various companies. Before Mattel shifted manufacturing to Hong Kong, Mattel Intellivision consoles were manufactured by GTE Sylvania. GTE Sylvania Intellivision consoles were produced along with Mattel's, differing only by the brand name. The Sears Super Video Arcade, manufactured by Mattel in Hong Kong, was a restyled beige top cover and detachable controllers. Its default title screen lacks the Mattel Electronics captioning. In 1982, Radio Shack marketed the Tandyvision 1, like the original console, but with the gold plates replaced with more wood trim. In Japan, Intellivision consoles were branded by Bandai in 1982, and in Brazil, they were Digimed and Digiplay consoles manufactured by Sharp in 1983. Inside every Intellivision console is 4K of ROM, containing the exact software. It provides two benefits: reusable code that can effectively make a 4K cartridge into an 8K game, and a software framework for new programmers to develop games more easily and quickly. It also allows other programmers to review and continue another's project more easily. Under the supervision of David Rolfe, and with graphics from Mattel artist Dave James, APH was able to quickly create the Intellivision launch game library using mostly summer students, who probably didn't get paid. The drawback was that to be flexible and handle many different types of games, the exec runs less efficiently than a dedicated program. Intellivision games that leveraged the exec ran at a 20Hz frame rate instead of the 60Hz frame rate for which the Intellivision was designed. Using the exec frame rate is optional, but almost all Intellivision games released by Mattel Electronics use it, and thus run at 20Hz. The limited ROM space in the early years of Intellivision game releases also means there's no space for a computer player, so many early multiplayer games required 2 human players. Initially, all Intellivision games were programmed by the outside firm APH, with 19 cartridges produced before Christmas 1980. Once the Intellivision project became successful, software development was brought in-house. Mattel formed its own software development group and began hiring programmers. The original 5 members of that Intellivision team were Mike Minkoff, Rick Levine, John Soule, Don Daigleau, and manager Gabriel Baum. Levine and Minkoff, a longtime Mattel Toys veteran, both transferred from the handheld Mattel game engineering team. During 1981, Mattel hired programmers as fast as possible. Early in 1982, Mattel Electronics relocated from Mattel headquarters to an unused industrial building. Doesn't sound scary at all. Offices were renovated as new staff moved in. To keep these programmers from being hired away by rival Atari, their identities and work location was kept a closely guarded secret. In public, the programmers were referred to collectively as the Blue Sky Rangers. Most of the early games are based on traditional real-world concepts such as sports, with an emphasis on realism and depth of play within the technology of the time. The Intellivision was not marketed as a toy. As such, games such as Sea Battle and B-17 Bomber were not made in the pick-up-and-play format like arcade games. Reading the instructions was often a prerequisite. Every cartridge produced by Mattel Electronics included two plastic controller overlays to help navigate the 12-button keypad, although not every game uses it. Game series, or networks, are Major League Sports, Action, Strategy, Gaming, Children's Learning, and later, Space Action and Arcade. The network concept was dropped in 1983, as was the convenient gatefold-style box for storing the cartridge, instructions, and overlays. Starting in 1981, programmers looking for credit and royalties on sales began leaving both APH and Mattel Electronics to create Intellivision cartridges for third-party publishers. They helped form Imagic in 1981, and in 1982, others joined Activision and Atari. Cheshire Engineering was formed by a few senior APH programmers, including David Rolfe, author of The Exec, and Tom Laudry, creator of one of the most popular Intellivision games, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Cheshire created Intellivision games for Activision. Third-party developers Activision, Imagic, and Coleco started producing Intellivision cartridges in 1982, and Atari, Parker Brothers, Sega, and Interface followed in 1983. The third-party developers, not having legal access to exec knowledge, often bypassed the exec framework to create smooth 30Hz and 60Hz Intellivision games, such as the Dreadnought Factor. Cheaper ROM prices also allowed for progressively larger games as 8K, 12K, and 16K cartridges became more common. The first Mattel Electronics Intellivision game to run at 60Hz is Masters of the Universe in 1983. Marketing dubbed the term Super Graphics on the game's packaging and marketing. Mattel Electronics had a competitive advantage in its team of experienced and talented programmers. As competitors often depended on licensing well-known trademarks to sell video games, Mattel focused on original ideas. Don Daigle was a key early programmer at Mattel and became director of Intellivision Games development. Daigle created Utopia, a precursor to the sim genre, and, with Eddie Dumbrauer, the groundbreaking sports simulation World Series Major League Baseball. Daigle was also involved with the popular Intellivision games Tron, Deadly Disc, and Shark Shark. After Mattel Electronics closed in 1984, its programmers continued to make significant contributions to the video game industry. Don Daigle and Eddie Dumbrauer went on to Electronic Arts to create Earl Weaver Baseball, and Don Daigle founded Stormfront Studios. Bill Fisher, Steve Rooney, and Mike Breen founded Quicksilver Software, and Dave Warhol founded Realtime Associates. The Intellivision was designed as a modular home computer. So from the beginning, its packaging, promotional materials, and television commercials promised the addition of a forthcoming accessory called the keyboard component. The master component was packaged as a standalone video game system to which the keyboard component could be added, providing the computer keyboard and tape drive. Not meant to be a hobbyist or business computer, the Intellivision home computer was meant to run pre-programmed software and bring data flow into the home. The keyboard component adds a 8-bit 6502 processor, making the Intellivision a dual processor computer. It has 16K 10-bit shared RAM that can load and execute both Intellivision CP1610 and 6502 program code from tape, which is a large amount of typical contemporary cartridges for 4K. The cassettes have two tracks of digital data and two tracks of analog audio, completely controlled by the computer. Two tracks are read-only for the software, and two tracks are for user data. The tape deck is block-addressed with high-speed indexing. A high-resolution of 40 by 24 monochrome text display can overlay regular Intellivision graphics. There's a microphone port and two expansion ports for peripherals and RAM. The Microsoft Basic programming cartridge uses one of these ports. Expanded memory cartridges support 1,000 pages of 8 kilobytes each. A third pass-through cartridge port is for regular Intellivision cartridges. It uses the Intellivision's power supply, a 40-column thermal printer was available, and a telephone modem was planned along with voice synthesis and voice recognition. David Rolfe of APH wrote a control program for the keyboard component called Pixie, Picture Sequence, specifically for the development of multimedia applications. Pixie synchronizes the graphics and analog audio while concurrently saving or loading tape data. Productivity software for home finances, personal improvement, and self-education were planned. subject experts were consulted, and their voices recorded and used in the software. Three applications using the Pixie system were released on cassette tape: Conversational French, Jack Lane's Physical Conditioning, and Spelling Challenge. Programs written in BASIC do not have access to Intellivision graphics and were sold at a lower price. Five BASIC applications were released on tape: Family Budgeting, Geography Challenge, and Crosswords 1-3. The keyboard component is an ambitious piece of engineering for its time, and it was repeatedly delayed as engineers tried to reduce manufacturing cost. In August 1979, the Intellivision keyboard component in breadboard form was successfully entered into the Sears Market Research Program. In December 1979, Mattel had production design working units, but decided on a significant internal design change to consolidate circuit boards. In September 1980, it was test marketed in Fresno, California, but without software except for the BASIC programming cartridge. In the late 1981, design changes were finally implemented, and the keyboard component was released for $600, or equivalent of $1,700 today, in Seattle and New Orleans only. Consumers who complained in writing could buy a keyboard component directly from Mattel. The printer, a rebadged Alphacom Sprinter 40, was only available by mail order. The keyboard component's repeated delays became so notorious around Mattel headquarters that comedian Jay Leno, when performing at Mattel's 1981 Christmas party, got his biggest response of the evening with the line, "You know what the three big lies are, don't you? The check is in the mail, I'll still respect you in the morning, and the keyboard will be out in spring." Components from consumers who had chosen to buy the Intellivision specifically on a promise of a coming soon personal computer upgrade eventually caught the attention of the FTC, who started investigating Mattel Electronics for fraud and false advertising. In mid-1982, the FTC ordered Mattel to pay a monthly fine, said to be $10,000, until the promised computer upgrade was in full retail distribution. To end the ongoing fines, the keyboard component was officially canceled in August 1982, and the Entertainment Computer System module offered in its place. Part of Mattel's settlement with the FTC involved offering to buy back all of the existing keyboard components from customers. Mattel provided a full refund, but customers without a receipt received $550 for the keyboard component, $60 for the basic cartridge, and $30 for the new cassette software. Any customer who opted to keep the product was required to sign a waiver with the understanding that no more software would be written for the system, and absolving Mattel of any future responsibility for technical support. They were also compensated with $1,000 worth of Mattel electronics product. Though approximately 4,000 keyboard components were manufactured, it is not clear how many of them were sold, and they are rare. Many of the units were dismantled for parts. Others were used by Mattel electronics programmers as part of the development system. A keyboard component can be interfaced with an Intellivision development system in place of the hand-built Magus board RAM cartridge. Data transfer to the keyboard component RAM was done serially and is slower than the Magus board peripheral interface. The keyboard component debacle was ranked number 11 on GameSpy's 25 Dumbest Moments in Gaming. In mid-1981, Mattel's upper management was becoming concerned that the keyboard component division would never be able to produce a sellable product. As a result, Mattel Electronics set up a competing internal engineering team whose stated mission was to produce an inexpensive add-on called the Basic Development System, or BDS, to be sold as an educational device to introduce kids to the concept of computer programming. The rival BDS engineering group, who had to keep the project's real purpose a secret among themselves, fearing that if David Chandler, the head of the keyboard component team, found out, he would use his influence to end the project, eventually came up with a much less expensive alternative. Originally dubbed the Lucky from the acronym Low User Cost Keyboard Interface, it lacked many of the sophisticated features envisioned for the original keyboard component. Gone, for example, was the 16K of RAM, the secondary CPU, and the high-resolution text. Instead, the ECS offered a mere 2 kilobyte RAM expansion, a built-in BASIC that was marginally functional, plus a much simplified interface. Ultimately, this fulfilled the original promise of turning the Intellivision into a computer. making it possible to write programs and store them to tape, and interfacing with a printer well enough to allow Mattel to claim that they had delivered the promised computer upgrade and stopped the FTC's mounting fines. It even offered, via an additional sound chip inside the ECS's module and an optional 49-key music synthesizer keyboard, the possibility of turning the Intellivision into a multi-voice synthesizer which could be used to play or learn music. In the fall of 1982, the Lucky, now renamed the Entertainment Computer System, or the ECS, was presented at the annual sales meeting, officially ending the ill-fated keyboard component project. A new advertising campaign was aired in time for the 1982 Christmas season, and the ECS itself was shown to the public at the January 1983 Consumer Electronics Show, or the CES, in Las Vegas. A few months later, the ECS hit the market, and the FTC agreed to drop the $10,000 per month fines. By the time the ECS made its retail debut as the Intellivision computer module, an internal shakeup at the top levels of Mattel Electronics management had caused the company's focus to shift away from hardware add-ons in favor of software. And the developments, including a planned program expander that would have added another $16,000 of RAM and a more intricate, fully featured extended BASIC to the system, were halted. In the end, six games were released for the ECS. A few more were completed, but not released. The ECS also offered a four-player gameplay with the optional addition of two extra hand controllers. Four-player games were in development when Mattel Electronics closed in 1984. World Cup Soccer was later completed and released in 1985 by Dextel in Europe and the INTV Corporation in North America. The documentation does not mention it, but when the ECS computer adapter is used, World Cup Soccer can be played with 1 to 4 players, or 2 players cooperatively against the computer. In 1982, Mattel introduced the IntelliVoice voice synthesis module, a speech synthesizer for compatible cartridges. The IntelliVoice is novel in two respects: human-sounding male and female voices with distinct accents, and the speech-supporting games were designed with speech being an integral part of the gameplay. Like the Intellivision chipset, the IntelliVoice chipset was developed by General Instrument. The SP0256-012 Orator chip has 2 kilobytes of ROM inside and is used to store the speech for numerical digits, some common words, and the phrase Mattel Electronics presents. Speech can be processed from the IntelliVoice's SP650 buffer chip stored and loaded from cartridge memory. That buffer chip has its own I.O., and the IntelliVoice has a 30-pin expansion port under a removable top plate. Mattel Electronics planned to use that connector for wireless hand controllers. Mattel Electronics built a state-of-the-art voice processing lab to produce the phrases used in IntelliVoice games. However, the amount of speech that could be compressed into an 8K or 12K cartridge and still leave room for a game was limited. IntelliVoice cartridges, Space Spartans and B-17 Bomber, did sell about 300,000 copies each, priced a few dollars more than the regular Intellivision cartridges. However, at $79, the IntelliVoice did not sell as well as Mattel expected, and IntelliVoices were later offered free with the purchase of a master component. In August 1983, the IntelliVoice system was quietly phased out. A children's title called Magic Carousel and foreign language versions of Space Spartans were completed but shelved. Additional games, Woody Woodpecker and Space Shuttle, went unfinished with the voice recordings unused. 4 IntelliVoice games were released: Space Spartans, B-17 Bomber, Bomb Squad, and Tron Solar Sailor. A 5th game, Intellivision World Series Major League Baseball, developed as part of the ECS series, also supports the IntelliVoice if both the ECS and IntelliVoice are connected concurrently. Unlike the IntelliVoice-specific games, however, World Series Major League Baseball is also playable without the IntelliVoice module, but not without the ECS. In the spring of 1983, Mattel introduced the Intellivision 2, a cheaper, more compact redesign of the original that was designed to be less expensive to manufacture and service, with updated styling. It also had longer controller cords. The Intellivision 2 was initially released without a packing game, but was later packaged with Burger Time in the United States and Lock and Chase in Canada. In 1984, the DigiPlay Intellivision 2 was introduced in Brazil. Brazil was the only country outside North America to have the redesigned Intellivision 2. Using an external AC adapter, consolidating some ICs, and taking advantage of relaxed FCC emission standards, the Intellivision 2 has a significantly smaller footprint than the original. The controllers, now detachable, have a different feel, with plastic rather than rubber side buttons and a flat membrane keyboard. Users of the original Intellivision missed the ability to find keypad buttons by the tactile feel of the original controller bubble keypad. One functional difference was the addition of a video import to the cartridge port, added specifically to support the system changer, an accessory also released in 1983 by Mattel that played Atari 2600 cartridges through the Intellivision. The Intellivision hand controllers could also be used to play Atari 2600 games. The system changer also had two controller ports compatible with Atari joysticks. The original Intellivision required a hardware modification, a service provided by Mattel to work with the system changer. Otherwise, the Intellivision 2 was promoted to be compatible with the original. It was discovered that a few Coleco Intellivision games did not work on the Intellivision 2. Mattel secretly changed the exec internal ROM program in an attempt to lock out third-party games. A few of Coleco's early games were affected, but the third-party developers quickly figured out how to get around it. Mattel's own electric company World Fun, however, would not run on the Intellivision 2 due to this change. In an unrelated issue, but also due to exec changes, Super Pro Football experiences a minor glitch when the quarterback does not appear until after the ball is hiked. There were also some minor changes to the sound chip, affecting sound effects in some games. Programmers at Mattel discovered the audio differences and avoided the problem in future games. As early as 1981, Dave Chandler's group began designing what would have been Mattel's next generation console, codenamed Decade, and now referred to as the Intellivision 4. It would have been based on a 32-bit processor and a 16-bit custom-designed advanced graphic interface chip. Specifications called for dual display support, a 240x192 bitmap resolution, 16 programmable 12-bit colors, anti-aliasing, a 40x24 tiled graphics modules, 4 colors per tile, text layer, and independent scrolling. 16 multicolored 16x16 sprites per scan line, 32 level hardware sprite scaling. Line interrupts for reprogramming sprite and color registers would allow for many more sprites and colors on screen at the time. It was intended as a machine that could lead Mattel Electronics into the 1990s. However, on August 4th, 1983, most hardware people at Mattel Electronics were laid off. In 1982, with the new machines introduced by competitors, Mattel Marketing wanted to bring an upgraded system to the market sooner. The Intellivision 3 was to be an upgrade but backward compatible system, based on similar CP1610 processor and with an improved graphics stick chip producing double the resolution with more sprites and colors. The Intellivision 3 never proceeded past the prototype stage. A new exec was written for it, but no games. It was canceled in mid-1983. According to the company's 1982 Form 10-K, Mattel had almost 20% of the domestic video game market. Mattel Electronics provided 25% of revenue and 50% of operating income in fiscal 1982. Although the Atari 2600 had more third-party development, Creative Computing Video and Arcade Games reported after visiting the summer 1982 Consumer Electronics Show that the momentum is tremendous. Activision and Imagic Tech began releasing games for the Intellivision, as did hardware rival Coleco. Mattel created M-Network branded games for Atari's systems. The company's advertisement budget increased to over $20 million for the year. In its October 1982 stockholders report, Mattel announced that Electronics had, so far that year, posted nearly a $100 million profit on nearly $500 million sales, a threefold increase over October 1981. However, the same report predicted a loss for the upcoming quarter. Hiring continued, as did the company's optimism that the investment in software and hardware development would pay off. The M-Network brand expanded to personal computers. An office in Taiwan was opened to handle Apple II programming. The original five-person Mattel game development team had grown to 110 people under new Vice President Baum. While Dayglow led Intellivision development and top engineer Minkoff directed all work on other platforms. In February 1983, Mattel Electronics opened an office in the south of France to provide Europe input to the Intellivision games and develop games for the ColecoVision. At its peak, Mattel Electronics employed 1,800 people. Amid the flurry of new hardware and software development, there was trouble in the Intellivision. New game systems, the ColecoVision Atari 5200, introduced in 1982, took advantage of falling RAM prices to offer graphics closer to arcade quality. In 1983, the price of home computers, particularly the Commodore 64, came down drastically to compete with video game system sales. The market became flooded with hardware and software, and retailers were ill-equipped to cope. In spring 1983, hiring at Mattel Electronics came to a halt. At the June 1983 Consumer Electronics Show in Chicago, Mattel Electronics had the opportunity to show off all their new products. The response was underwhelming. Several people in top management positions were replaced due to massive losses. On July 12, 1983, Mattel Electronics president Josh Denham was replaced with outsider Mac Morris. Morris brought in former Mattel Electronics president and marketing director Jeff Rochlis as a consultant, and all projects were under review. The Intellivision 3 was canceled, and then all new hardware development was stopped when 666 jobs were cut on August 4th. The price of the Intellivision 2, which launched at $150 earlier that year, was lowered down to $69, and Mattel Electronics was to be a software company. However, by October 1983, Electronics losses were over $280 million for the year, and one-third of the programming staff were laid off. Another third was gone by November, and on January 20, 1984, the remaining programming staff were laid off. The Taiwan and French offices continued a little while longer due to contract and legal obligations. On February 4, 1984, Mattel sold the Intellivision business for $20 million. In 1983, 750,000 Intellivision master components were sold, more than 3 million units from 1980 to 1983. Former Mattel Electronics Senior Vice President of Marketing, Terrence Valesky, understood that although losses were huge, the demand for video games increased in 1983. Valesky found investors and purchased the rights to Intellivision, the games, and inventory from Mattel. A new company, Intellivision Inc., was formed. And by the end of 1984, Valesky bought out the other investors and changed the name to INTV Corporation. They continued to supply the large toy stores and sold games through direct mail order. At first, they sold the existing inventory of games and Intellivision 2 systems. When the inventory of games sold out, they produced more, but without the Mattel name or unnecessary licenses on the printed materials. To lower costs, the boxes, instructions, and overlays were produced at lower quality compared to Mattel. In France, the Mattel Electronics office found investors and became Nice Ideas in April 1984. They continued to work on Intellivision, ColecoVision, and other computer games. They produced Intellivision World Cup Soccer and Championship Tennis, both released in 1985 by European publisher Dextil. In 1985, INTV Corporation introduced the INTV System 3, also branded as the Intellivision Super Pro System, using the same design as the original Intellivision model, but in black and silver. The same year, INTV Corp. introduced two new games that were completed at Mattel but not released, Thunder Castle and World Championship Baseball. With their early success, INTV Corp. decided to produce new games and in 1986 introduced Super Pro Football, an update of Mattel's NFL football. INTV Corp. continued a relationship that Mattel had with Data East and produced all new games such as Commando in 1987 and Body Slam Wrestling in 1988. Also in 1987, INTV Corp. released Dig Dug, purchased from Atari, where the game was completed but not released in 1984. They also got into producing next-generation games with the production of Monster Truck Rally for Nintendo Entertainment System in 1991, and also released Stadium Mud Buggies for Intellivision in 1989. Licensing agreements with Nintendo and Sega required INTV Corporation to discontinue the Intellivision in 1990. INTV Corporation did publish 21 new Intellivision cartridges, bringing the Intellivision library to a total of 124 cartridges plus one compilation cartridge. In 1989, INTV Corp. and World Book Encyclopedia entered into an agreement to manufacture an educational video game system called TutorVision. It is a modified Intellivision, the case modeled in light beige with gold and blue trim. The exact ROM expanded, system RAM increased to 1.75K, and graphics RAM increased to 2 kilobytes. That is enough graphics RAM to define unique graphical tiles for the entire screen. Games were designed by World Book, J. Hackinson Associations, and programmed by Real Time Associates. 16 games were in production, plus one Canadian variation. However, the cartridges and the two division were never released. Instead, World Book and INTV Corporation sued each other. There you go. In 1990, INTV Corporation filed for bankruptcy protection and closed in 1991. An unknown number of later Intellivision Super Pro systems have Tudorvision hardware inside. A subset of these units contains the full Tudorvision exec and can play Tudorvision games. Intellivision games became readily available again when Keith Robinson and Stephen Rooney, both former Intellivision programmers at Mattel Electronics, obtained exclusive rights to the Intellivision and games in 1997. That year, they formed a new company, Intellivision Productions, and made Intellivision for PC Volume 1 available as a free download. Intellivision games could be played on a modern computer for the first time. That download included three Intellivision games and an MS-DOS Intellivision emulator that plays original game code. It was followed by Volume 2 and another three games, including Deep Pockets, Super Pro Pool, and Billiards. A game completed in 1990 but never released until its download in 1997. In 2000, the IntelliPack 3 download was available for another four Intellivision games and emulators for Windows or Macintosh. Intellivision Productions released Intellivision Lives and Intellivision Rocks on compact disc in 1998 and 2001. These compilation CDs played the original game code through emulators for MS-DOS, Windows, and Macintosh computers. Together, they have over 100 Intellivision games, including never-released King of the Mountain, Takeover, Robot Rubble, League of Light, and others. Intellivision Rocks includes Intellivision games made by Activision and Imagic. Some games could not be included due to licensing. Others simply use different titles to avoid trademark names. The CDs are also a resource for development history, box art, hidden features, programmer biographies, video interviews, and original commercials. Also in 1997, Intellivision Productions announced they would sell development tools allowing customers to program their own Intellivision games. They were to provide documentation, PC compatibility cross-assemblers, and the Magnus II PC Intellivision cartridge interface. Unfortunately, the project was canceled, but they did provide copies of Your Friend the Exec, the programmer's guide to the Intellivision executive control software. By 2000, Intellivision hobbyists ultimately created their own development tools, including Intellivision memory cartridges. In 2005, Intellivision Productions announced that new Intellivision cartridges are being produced. Deep Pockets and Illusions will be the first two releases in a series of new cartridges for the Intellivision. The printed circuit boards, the cartridge casings, the boxes are all being custom manufactured for this special series. Illusions was completed at Mattel's Electronics French office in 1983, but never released. Deep Pocket Super Pro Pool and Billiards was programmed for INTV Corporation in 1990 and only released as a ROM file in 1998. However, no cartridges were produced. Previously in 2000, Intellivision Productions did release new cartridges for the Atari 2600 and ColecoVision. Sea Battle and Sword Fight were Atari 2600 games created by Mattel Electronics in the early 1980s, but not previously released. Steamroller for the ColecoVision was developed for Activision in 1984 and not previously released. Also in 1999, Activision released a collection of Intellivision Classic games for PlayStation, also known as Intellivision Classics. It has 30 emulated Intellivision games as well as video interviews of some of the original programmers. All the games were licensed from Intellivision Productions, and none of the Activision or Magic Intellivision games were included. In 2003, Crave Entertainment released a PlayStation 2 version of Intellivision Lives, and then Xbox and GameCube versions in 2004. In 2010, Virtual Play Games released Intellivision Lives for the Nintendo DS, including one never-before-released game, Blowout. In 2008, Microsoft made Intellivision Lives an available download on the Xbox Live Marketplace as an Xbox Original and playable on the Xbox 360. In 2003, the Intellivision 25 and Intellivision 15 direct-to-TV systems were released by TechnoSource Limited. These are an all-in-one single controller design that plugs directly into a television. One includes 25 games, the other 10. These Intellivision games were not emulated but rewritten for the native processor, Nintendo Entertainment System compatible, and adapted to a contemporary controller. As such, they look and play differently than Intellivision. In 2005, they were updated for two-player play as the Intellivision X2 with 15 games. They were commercially very successful, altogether selling about 4 million units by the end of 2006. Several licensed Intellivision games became available to Windows computers through the GameTap subscription gaming service in 2005, including Astro Smash, Buzz Bombers, Hover Force, Night Stalker, Pinball, Shark Shark, Skiing, and Snafu. Installation of the GameTap Player software was required to access the emulator and games. The VH1 Online Arcade made 9 Intellivision games available in 2007. Using a Shockwave emulator, these Intellivision games could be played directly through a web browser with Shockwave Player. In 2010, VH1 Classic and NTV Networks released 6 Intellivision games to iOS. Intellivision games were first adapted to mobile phones and published by THQ Wireless in 2001. On March 24, 2010, Microsoft launched the Game Room service for Xbox Live and games for Windows Live. The service includes support for Intellivision games and allows players to compete for high scores via online leaderboards. At the 2011 Consumer Electronics Show, Microsoft announced a version of Game Room for Windows Phone, promising a catalog of 44 Intellivision games. At Games and its direct-to-drive digital store has Windows-compatible Intellivision compilations available for download purchase. The number of Intellivision games that can be played effectively with contemporary game controllers is limited. On October 1, 2014, At Games Digital Media, under license from Intellivision Productions, released the Intellivision Flashback Classic Game Console. It is a miniaturized-sized Intellivision console with 2 original-sized Intellivision controllers. While adapters have been available to interface original Intellivision controllers to personal computers, the Intellivision Flashback includes 2 new Intellivision controllers identical in layout and function to the originals. It comes with 60, or 61 if you get the Dollar General version, emulated Intellivision games built into ROM and a sample set of plastic overlays for 10 games. The advanced Dungeons & Dragons games were included as Crown of Kings and Minotaur. As with many of the other Intellivision compilations, no games requiring third-party licenses were included. In May 2018, Tommy Tallarico announced that he acquired the rights to the Intellivision brand and games with plans to launch a new home video game console. A new company, Intellivision Entertainment, was formed with Tallarico serving as president. Intellivision Productions has been renamed Blue Sky Rangers, and their video game intellectual property has been transferred to Intellivision Entertainment. At the Portland Retro Gaming Expo in October 2018, the Intellivision Amico was officially revealed. Ken Usdin published Ken Usdin's Guide to Buying and Beating the Home Video Games in 1982 as a guide to potential buyers of console system cartridges, as well as a brief strategy guide to numerous cartridge games then in existence. He described Intellivision as the most mechanically reliable of the systems. The controller, used during many hours of experimentation, worked with perfect consistency. The unit never had overheating problems, nor were loose wires or other connections encountered. However, Usdin related the controls and control system as below average, and the worst of the consoles he tested, including Atari 2600, Magnavox Odyssey 2, Astrovision, and the Fairchild F. Jeff Rovin lists Intellivision as one of the 7 major suppliers of video games in 1982, and mentions it as the unchallenged king of graphics. However, stating that the controller can be difficult to operate, the fact that if a controller breaks, the entire unit must be shipped off for repairs, since they did not detach it first, and that the overlays are sometimes so stubborn as to tempt one's patience. A 1996 article in Next Generation said the Intellivision had greater graphics power than the dominant Atari 2600. It was slower than the 2600 and had less software available, but it was known for its superior sports titles. A year later, Electronic Gaming Monthly assessed the Intellivision in an overview of older gaming consoles, remarking that the controllers were as comfortable as they were practical. The unique disc-shaped directional pad provided unprecedented control for the time, and the numeric keypad opened up new options previously unavailable in console gaming. They praised the breadth of the software library, but said there was a lack of genuinely standout games. Some of the innovations that the Intellivision brought were that it was considered the first 16-bit game console, as it had a 16-bit microprocessor. It was also the first console and one of the first video games to use a tile-based playfield. It allowed for the display of detailed graphics and color with very little RAM. The Intellivision was also the first system to feature downloadable games with play cable in 1981. Intellivision was the first game console to provide real-time human voices in the middle of gameplay, courtesy of the IntelliVoice module. It was the first game controller with a directional thumbpad. The Intellivision was also the first game console or home computer to offer a musical synthesizer keyboard. Intellivision was also the first console to have a complete built-in character font. While Odyssey 2 had a limited character font, uppercase alphabet, numerals, and other characters, Intellivision's system font had complete upper and lowercase alphabets, numerals, and almost all the punctuation symbols found on standard computer keyboards. Utopia, which is a 1982 game, is credited as the game that spawned the construction and management simulation genre. The World Series Major League Baseball in 1983 is the first sports simulation video game with several innovations. Multiple views of a 3D calculated virtual playfield, statistically based gameplay using real historic baseball player statistics, manager player substitutions, play-by-play speech, save games, or lineups to tape storage. Well, there you have it. That is the history of the Intellivision video game console. Now, I actually have one of the Intellivisions, the originals. I don't have the number two, but hopefully I can get one of those one day. What'd you guys think? I never actually played one of these as a child. I was always an Atari 2600 guy. I played it once in a blue moon at a friend's house, but I never owned it or really had readily access to it. Let me know if y'all had a chance to play this as a kid, if your parents bought it for you. Send me an email at retrobanggaming@gmail.com and tell me what you think. What are some of your memories of playing the Intellivision? But as always, you guys, take care of yourself, take care of those around you, and keep on gaming. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please take a second to subscribe. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can at retrobengaming@gmail.com. Thanks again, and as always, keep gaming.